The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so we are only focusing on, well, allegedly, we're only focusing on the third of the Rambam statements. Quick review of yesterday, not everything yesterday, just we did Shalosh Averos Nifrayin Adam Ba'olam Hazeh, Ein Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba, Avodah Zarah Gilui Arayos and Shfichus Damim, Lashon Hara Keneged Kulam. So I think we said a lot of stuff yesterday, but just I think breaking it down, it's equal to Avodah Zarah because of the distortion. It's equal to Gilui Arayos because of the indulgence in pleasure. And it's equal to Shfichus Damim because of the harm. I think that's like the general like gist of it, you know. So then today we're focusing on Ot Amru Chachamim Shlosha Lashon Hara Horeges. Lashon Hara kills three people. Ha'omro v'hamakablo v'zesh omrin alav. So the speaker, the one who says it, the one who accepts it, and the one who it is said about, v'hamakablo yosir min ha'omro, the one who accepts it more than the one who says it. Okay, so I looked this up in the Gemara, came across a weird Rashi. Okay, so the Gemara says it in Aramaic, v'ma'arava amri lashon tlisai katil tlis. Tlisai Katil, Lashon, which is Lashon Hara, right, kills three people. Tlisai Katil. Lashon Tlisai Katil Tlisai? Wait, why does it say Tlisai twice? Let me just see what if I'm reading this right here. Third speech. Okay, Katil Tlisai. Sorry, Lashon Tlisai, third speech. Tlisai Horeg kills three people. Yeah, so look at this Rashi. Lishna Tlisai, Ze Lashon Harachil Shehi Shlishis Ben Adam Lachavero Legalis Losa. Okay, so this is a gossiper who is a third party between a person and his friend who reveals a secret. Okay, so what does it mean that it kills the speaker and all these people? Laomro Larachil, so it kills the gossiper, Atmo himself. Shemitoch Mariva Shenafelis Ben Hashnaim, because due to the fighting that will come about between the two people he revealed the secret for. Horgin ze ze, they'll kill each other. V'horgin gole hadam es harachil sheha herig ba'ayado. And then the gole hadam, the blood avengers, will kill the gossiper because they got killed because of him. It's just like an oddly literalistic way to take it, you know? So it's not mashman to me that that's where it's about. But I just thought I'd read it in case like it's relevant. But what would you say? What's the idea of it killing three people, and then why does it kill the recipient more than the speaker?
I mean, assuming it's false information.
Well, Lashon Hara, remember, is true. Lashon Hara, Rechilus is true and not degrading. Lashon Hara is true and degrading, and then Motzi Shemra is false and degrading. Yeah. So the key, what's the key question you have to ask to like unlock the whole thing?
Well, I guess how does it affect them?
How does it affect? Okay, yeah, but what's the like more pointed question?
You're gonna say the person who accepts it, he knows this is going on, just has the worst understanding of what's going on, as opposed to the speaker.
Okay, that's a good reason. But the thing you're gonna have to say is what is it, the analogy of killing? Right, like that's in order to unlock everything. What's the metaphor of killing, and why? Like, because I think yesterday we said that it's talking about the harm, but like, what is, you know, killing is not synonymous with harm. So why does it use that such a strong lashon? You could just say it means really bad harm, but
right.
Yeah.
I mean, if it sparks like a conflict between everyone,
yeah,
that's usually said in terms of like Alita being killed.
Yeah, so that's definitely like seems to be the, like the approach that Rashi's taking, that we're talking about actual consequences, you know, that it can actually like bring about an actual death. So maybe that's why Rashi is taking it this way, because he wants to preserve the literal meaning of killing, and then he has to construct a scenario where it's like that. I don't know about you. I'm inclined to say that it's not literal, that it doesn't literally kill three people. It's, I think, like, especially the way that the Rambam puts it here, you know, Lashon Hara is not literally equal to Avodah Zarah. It just resembles it, or it partakes of it, you know? So, yeah. So let me take one step, okay, which is that killing is not only the most severe harm, but it's irreversible. It's permanent harm, okay, permanent damage, okay? So the way I'm taking it is that Lashon Hara affects permanent severe damage on the speaker, on the recipient, and on the person who it's said about, right? So the one who it's said about, that's the easiest one, right? Okay. the speaker, we kind of already paved the way for that based on the comparison to these three, because those are three ways which we said it it harms you, right? Is that you're engaging in a projection of your own emotions onto the other person and treating that as a reality. You are utilizing someone, you're indulging in a certain base instinct vis-a-vis another human being, and then you're harming them, right? But now I think you could say what you're going to say. What were you trying to say about the why it harms the recipient more than others?
He's the one who now knows the least, as like his knowledge of what's actually happening is the worst.
Okay, right. So in other words, the guy who you're speaking about, like, knows the truth. Okay, right. So it's true he could be harmed by it, but he's going to be harmed in terms of like the effects of the Lashon Hara on him. The speaker knows the truth because he's distorting it. You know, I mean, presumably he knows the truth because he's distorting it. But the guy who is the recipient is like an innocent bystander in a sense. And it's even worse because if you've ever been on the receiving end of Lashon Hara, no, not the receiving end, the bystander end of Lashon Hara, someone can completely like taint your image of another person almost like beyond your control. Like if someone says I think that's why it's emphasizing the permanence of it, is that once you say something bad about somebody, you can't unhear it, you know? And you can go through and you can investigate it and like maybe see that they're false, but like you're almost just a victim of the other person's distorted view. It's like they're foisting their distorted view onto your mind, you know?
I guess you have a bit of like an unconscious bias, like going into like, even if you're saying maybe this is not true, like in
right.
mind, the thing you only thing you know about this case
exactly
is whatever the guy said.
Right. I'll read this Yad Pshuta in case it helps. He says, this is on Hamakablo Yosemin Omro. Kah gam hebi bepirsh mishnayas avos hanizkir el. So in that Pirkei Avos we quoted earlier in the week, the Rambam cites this. Ulam lo niskal makor lashon zo. So I didn't know this, that apparently this is not an explicit statement of Chazal. Okay, that it affects the recipient more than the speaker. Which, by the way, I also looked for a bunch of commentaries and I couldn't find much beyond this. So he says, Baram Isa b'Shabbos nun vav amud beis Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav ilamale lo kibal David lashon hara. Lo nechalka malchus beis David, v'lo avdu Yisrael avodazara, v'lo galino me'artzenu. So that's big. We're not for David accepting Lashon Hara. Okay, now I'm not sure what that's referring to. We can look at it in a second. Then the malchus beis David would not have been split, and Israel would not have worshipped avodazara, and we would not have been exiled from our land. So let's see what that Gemara is. Nun vav amud beis in Shabbos. Nun vav amud beis. Anyone know what, I mean, David accepting Lashon Hara is? David. Yeah. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda. You sound confident. Amar Rav Ilmala Lukiva David Lashon Hara Lo Nechakam Malchus Beis David V'lo Avdu Yisrael Vodazara V'lo Gilim Yaratzenu. Okay. So does Rashi say?
Boshet's servants.
That's what it might be here. It says, a report about Mephibosheth. So, what happened to Mephibosheth?
Basically, you know how David and Yonatan were great friends?
Yeah.
Or, like, after the whole event, Mephibosheth was the son of Yonatan, and David was accepted him, like, to the royal entourage, like, sort of like made him a noble, and, like, even prestige within during the Avshalom rebellion. I think at some point a servant claimed that when he was coming back, a servant Mephibosheth claimed that Mephibosheth committed treason. And then David Liebman, I think, split the estate in half and gave half to the servant.
Okay. All right. Sounds like we have to look more into the facts, which we're not gonna be doing in Kios. So the only thing Rashi says is Lo Avdu Yisrael Vodazara. So Israel would not have worshipped Vodazara. Sha'ayde Shenechlecha Hamalchus Hemid Yeravim Ha'galim Shelo Ya'alu Yisrael Yerushalayim Lemem Shalta Sherechavim. So after the kingdom split, Yeravim set up the two golden calves, and then they worshipped it. So he doesn't really say what the Lashon Hara was exactly.
Like in the Gemara, it seems to be like
talking. Yeah. All right. So let's look at the bottom here. Nun vav amud aleph. I'm just going to read this in English. in the interest of time here. So it says, oh my goodness, this is a whole long thing. All right, this is a whole long thing. I don't think it's going to help us with our issue. And then he goes on, the Yad Pshuta goes on and says, V'hishvila seder eli araba perachav zayin v'din chid hamaraglim sho tiyu es dibas aretz ra'a v'is palam moshav v'is kabla tefilaso v'yomar Hashem salachli kid v'racha. So we saw yesterday that it describes the meraglim as slandering the land. Moshe davened for them to be forgiven, and they were forgiven. And it says there, afal pi shesalach adayin gezerah b'makoma, that even though they were forgiven, then the gezerah remained in place. Hayel hen liYisrael shiyomru leNesiim, the Jews should have said to the Nesiim, in anushom lahem, we're not listening to you. So the implication of that midrash, I guess, I don't know what the source of the midrash is, just as is Eliyahu Rabbah. The source of the midrash seems to indicate, that if the Jews had said, we're not listening to the Meraglim, then they wouldn't have had the Gezerah. So it's not that the Meraglim spoke Lashon Hara, it's that the Jews accepted the Lashon Hara. You know, that was the main chayit. And that resulted in the whole Gezerah in the Midbar. Also, I wanted to show you, he quotes the Rashi. Hold on. All right, so he quotes that Rashi, that it kills three people and they're going to fight and the Gola Hadam will get fight back. So the Ravid explains that the, like Rashi, that the Rachel is the third party. Why does it call it Lashon Shlishi, like third speech? Shehu Horik Shlosha, because it kills three. Omrov Amakavlo Vizeshinem Arlav. Uvime Shaul Nehergu Arba. In the days of Shaul, four were killed. Doeg Shaamru, Shaul Shakiblo, Achimelech Shinem Arlav, Avner. Okay, so in the Doeg story, Doeg, who it was said about, was killed. Do you know how Doeg died? I don't know how Doeg died. Shaul, who accepted it. Achimelech, we know, because Doeg said Lashonara about him, and then Avner. Okay, I don't know what that's talking about. Reigam Midrash Rabba Vayikra Chav Zayin Beis. Hairly Noam's. Okay, that's a guy. Yeah. Okay, fine. So I didn't find much about this, other than what we're speculating here.
Rashi is saying very practical.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Again, I don't know why Rashi is driven to say that, other than it preserves the literal meaning of killing. But you know, I mean, look, there is an underlying idea here, which is that Lashon Hara is bad enough that like it can completely destroy somebody, you know, and like if you that is another way to take it, which is that there's your, you know, your biological life, but then there's your life as like a member of the society. And you see nowadays, like in cancel culture, that like all it takes is one thing that's said and like it could totally end someone's career. You know, in fact, let's end with this. I saw they have a Tshuvos of the Rambam. So someone asked him about a cancel culture thing. Okay. I guess this was found in the Geniza. I'm guessing because, Geniza, because it doesn't have all of it. But the guy asked the Rambam that there is a woman, we don't know, blah, blah, blah. She slotet ima bedvarim shehima shahaya mavakish lishkav ima. So someone accused this guy of wanting to sleep with this woman, this old woman, I guess. V'lo haya la al zeh eid. She did not have any witness for it. V'lo raya, and she didn't have any proof. V'lo ira mimenu me'olam inyan kazeh. And nothing ever happened like this. Like this guy, the guy had like a clean reputation. Ela alila hi shehe alila. So she was just trying to make an accusation because she wanted to harm the guy. And to ruin his reputation, and to ruin his livelihood, and to embarrass him publicly. Okay, so the real contemporary thing. So should a person believe her words or not? Okay. So again, it's hard to know what the question was because we don't have the first part of the question. And then the guy goes on and says, the questioner says, Haim yesh reshus biyado lahatil cherem barabim al kol mi she'omer alav she'asa ha'inyan hazeh. So the guy's question is, does the person who is being accused, does he have the right to make a public excommunication of anyone who says this about him? Omisha tofel alav sheker, or someone who like accuses him falsely, v'choshed bo, and suspects him, but mesha in bo olo, or and suspects him of something he didn't do. So that's the question that they pose to the Rambam. The Rambam says, in lekavla estavraha, you should not believe her. Okay, so the modern statement of believe all women, That was when they first started the Me Too movement. Then that was a slogan, right? Because it is a common case where people don't believe women, you know, but they took it to the opposite extreme and believe all women. So Ram says, don't believe her. Harshus bide kol adam lahachrim b'shem mi shemosi alav shemra. So any person has the right to excommunicate anyone who slanders him. So this guy has the right to excommunicate her. V'in lo rishus lahachrim mi shechoshed bo. But he does not have the right to excommunicate people who are suspicious of him. V'hanachum b'kugon zeh lahafsik es adibor. The best thing would be to stop this speech from going on. V'lo lahati alcherim v'lo dibor barabim. And not to make excommunications and not to make public statements. So I think, you know, do you know, have you ever heard of the Streisand effect? Okay, so I don't know what the Streisand effect was named after the actress Barbara Streisand. And so this is, there's a Wikipedia article on it. The Streisand effect is the way in which attempts to hide, remove, or censor information can lead to the unintended consequence of increasing awareness of that information. It is named after American singer and actress Barbara Streisand, whose attempt to suppress California Coastal Records Project's photograph of her clip-top residence in Malibu, taken to document California's coastal erosion, inadvertently drew greater attention to the photograph in 2003. There's a pasuk in Mishle that says something, it says it in a weird way. It says something to the effect of, if your nose is dirty and you try to rub it, the dirt off too hard, you'll make your nose bleed, you know? So like if there's some stain on your reputation and you're too like forceful about trying to get rid of it, it'll just make everything worse. So I think, again, it's hard to tell because the Rambam is very concise here. Sounds like he's saying the best thing for everybody is to just not talk about this anymore. And he can put her in excommunication, but he shouldn't go around excommunicating a bunch of people because that's just going to draw attention to it. Yeah.
In practice basically means that if you did something wrong to someone and people don't know, that you can put the person, like you put your victim in chayra.
Put your victim in chayram?
In practice, that's what it means. Like, you do have to agree in practice, it also means that.
I don't understand. He's saying this guy was the victim of slander by a woman. Yeah. So he can put her in the chayram because she's the criminal.
No. The thing is that as far as actual justifiable laws, and all you know is one person is accusing someone else.
Right.
If he was actually the criminal and she's telling the truth, then you're also saying the criminal can put his victim in chayram.
Well, I think the Rambam is answering the question that was asked, which is that the guy, there's no proof of it, right? So this guy is innocent until proven guilty. If the guy is vadai guilty, I don't think he's saying that you can put that
But you also accept there are people who are actually vadai guilty, but we don't know.
Yeah, but you can't just go around putting people in chayram because of that. I mean, you can put people in chayram for doing slander, right? I mean, this is a case of slander, right? She's making an accusation out of nowhere, which...
So this is the question asker. What if she's correct?
I mean, I don't know if... it sounds like the question asker... I can't judge based on the question asker because we don't have the whole question,
well,
but...
It sounds like the wrong saying you shouldn't just excommunicate her.
Well, he's saying that right, exactly. He's saying you can, right? Yeah, I wouldn't make leaps about who you can excommunicate just based on...
By saying it seems to be pleasure on this, he's saying that in practice, I'm not talking about like in theory, but in practice,
yeah.
If you're the criminal and like your victim is public about the crime, then you can excommunicate them.
If you're not proven guilty.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, if you're not proven guilty.
Yeah, that's in practice though. That's like saying the guys are.
All I'm seeing here is Harshus Biad Kol Adam Lahafrim Bishim Mishim Motzi Alav Shem Ra. Hotza Shem Ra is when you make up something negative.
No.
Okay. So if I'm a criminal and there's just no evidence and someone, the victim like talks about me, that's not the Rambam's case.
And that in practice is the Rambam's case.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Because basically, as far as the judge is concerned, there's no evidence. So she's just doing what she's shamra.
Yeah. But how does that give me the right? I know she's not doing what she's shamra.
No, it doesn't give you the tick word. It gives you the practical.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Practice, I agree. Let's say you do.
Right.
And let's say you're alive. And
just right.
Excommunicate someone trying to accuse them.
And let's say...
I can't... You can't just... I mean, I don't think the wrong saying you could just excommunicate based on your own lies. Like...
I mean, in practice, he is saying that.
No, he's not. No.
Yes.
No, he's not. Arshus biad kol adam lahachrim b'shem mishem motzi alav shem ra. If someone lies about you...
Right.
you can excommunicate the liar.
No.
But if, yeah.
What? I mean, it's clear that in the legal theory, yes. The thing is that, let's say to the third party, you have two people.
Okay.
One person who accuses the other of X crime.
Yeah.
The person who's being accused.
Yeah.
And he says that, and he puts the accused, the accused puts the accuser in terror. Should you, as in the accused, says you put the accuser in terror, do you follow the accused?
But the accused, though, are you talking, so you're talking for the third party to obey someone's harem?
Isn't that what it means, like putting them in harem?
Putting someone in harem is an actual MISA.
Yeah.
Right?
As in,
and that's what I'm saying. You don't just have, I don't think you just have the right to put anyone in harem, whoever you want. Because then there's no point in asking the question even.
No. Also, I think the Rambam is saying that if the person is actually doing Motzi Shemra to the guy, then he has the right. If
yeah.
he does it when he's not, when he's actually guilty, then he doesn't have the right. He's
right.
doing something wrong.
Right.
He's also doing Motzi Shemra.
No, right.
That would be true. That
so that just that, that's like a
that would be true. That
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
That would be true if he's actually guilty. He doesn't technically have the right. In practice, he does.
Okay, but
he in practice, you do averos.
Yeah.
Right. In practice, you do. You have b'charti, you can choose to do whatever you want. That doesn't mean that the Torah sanctions or that the halacha sanctions you to do it. Yeah.
I guess the Rambam is saying according to halacha, if the guy knows for a fact that this is false about
yeah.
him, he can, he's allowed
right.
to do that. Otherwise,
right.
he's not allowed to, but he can always do it.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, yeah, you can always make up whatever you want. Yeah. You know,
obviously, practice,
yeah.
you know.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.